my darling ladies. I just want to sing. This is Crystal. It is Tuesday, November 29th. Welcome, everyone, to the call today. I'm excited to be here, and I'm excited you're here with me. I am flying solo again today, so I want to really invite you, those of you who are on the telephones, to have some courage today. This may be your lucky day to get some coaching, because that's what I'm here to do. I'm here to support you. I'm here to commiserate with you, celebrate here with you and with each other. So I'm just so excited you're all here. For those of you that are on the phone line live right now, November 29th at 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, 10 o'clock on the West Coast, welcome. And over in England and Spain, many places in Europe right now, it's around 6 o'clock in the evening. So welcome. Hope you've had your dinner already or you're getting ready to. And for those of you that are listening through the webinar, welcome as well. You can always leave a question there. And I'm just going to go take a peek and see if anyone has posted a question. No, we don't have any there. And so just going back to the phone lines, I would love to be able to support you today. You know, we are headed into a really busy time of year. It doesn't matter what religion you are, what holidays you celebrate. The month of December is a busy, busy time for all of us. I know for me, I just saw a post that went up this morning. Somebody said, oh, my God, I'm stressed out. It's 26 days until Christmas or something like that. And I thought, oh, my gosh, I haven't even started Christmas shopping yet. But, you know, I don't let myself get anxious anymore about the holidays. It's really important. Years ago, I used to, but that's also because we went to a lot of family get-togethers, and there was always tension, and someone's feelings was always hurt, or someone said something that hurt my feelings. And, you know, I always left almost every get-together. I'd get in the car and feel like I just wanted to cry the whole drive home. And, you know, that was years ago. It's been years. But I also stopped going to all the family get-togethers. And my daughter said to me, you know, we were talking a couple of days ago, and we were talking about Christmas this year and who were we going to spend Christmas with. And, you know, she's starting to get older, and she's a young woman now, 21. She'll be 22 in February. You know, she was starting to talk about, Mom, like, I go to different family get-togethers with, you know, dad's side of the family, and God bless them, because no, this isn't about anybody, but this person bugs me, and that person bugs me. I couldn't believe this one. I nearly got into an argument with this person. What should I do? I said, you know, Madeline, here's the thing. Here's the thing with family. You really almost have to make a decision that there are some relationships that, you know, as you start to really do your own healing, and that's why it's so important that you do the work on yourself to really figure out, is this my deal or is this unhealthy? Is this inappropriate behavior? Is it time for me to take action? Is this time for me to, you know, make a decision that I'm going to have to set some boundaries up? And sometimes we have those relationships, and sometimes we're almost afraid to even broach those conversations, have those conversations, because we don't know where they're going to go or if they're going to escalate. We don't know if we have the communication skills to be able to really speak our mind. We don't know if we'll escalate. We don't know if they'll say something that hurts our feelings. So I was saying to Madeline, I said, I think there are certain relationships, and this is what I'm figuring out, and I'm not old, but in my old age of turning 46, and actually, December 11th, so not far off, I'll be 46. So it's a busy time, December, for me. I said to her, there are certain people in my life that I just love. You know, I love them. I just love them too much, not too much, but so much, that I've learned to accept them. Not that I like some of the things they do. Not that I agree. Sometimes I see some of the things they've said or hear some of it, and I actually think, that's just the most ridiculously stupid or unhealthiest thing you could say. Why would you say that? But I love that person so much, and I know that we've tried battling. We've over the years done the arguments. We've pushed each other away. We've not talked for periods of time. We've come back around to the drawing table. We've tried it again. And there are certain people that you love enough, that you love so much, that you still have some level of really an unconditional love for them, that you think, I'd rather them in my life than not have them in my life. You know, having them in my life, still, there's no perfection with anybody. But there's people that you choose, right? I mean, you choose your partner. You don't choose your children, but I don't know, there's some kind of crazy love I think you have for your children. But it's sort of that same thing. It's, you know, the only way I could really explain it to Madeline was, it doesn't matter what you and Julia do. I and when I say that, I don't mean it doesn't matter if they treated me in an absolutely horrible way. But we have built a relationship at this point that if there's little things that get out of alignment along the way, we can talk about them. So I can't ever see myself reaching a place in my relationship with my children that we hit an impasse that can't be, we can't walk around, we can't climb over, we can't climb under, we'll figure our way out. I really feel that 100%. And I finally am starting to, I hate to say it like that, I'm finally feeling that sort of 100% in my marriage. You know, everybody talks about unconditional love, and I think in marriage, up until this point in my marriage, and even in my first two marriages, I think there's always sort of a backdoor idea. I always admired people that had such a, you know, I love this person, I chose this person, and we're both sort of like the way I talk about my relationship with my children, where we're both committed to when we hit pit stops or we have setbacks, I'm just too committed now to the relationships that matter to me because I've lost too many. I'm so committed to the relationships that matter to me now, which are my husband, my children, and a very, 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 very tiny circle that's around that of people that I think, no, it would have to be something so wackadoodle for this relationship to not grow, expand, and to continue to love each other and support each other. But there are people in your lives, especially, you know, you're going into the holiday season, and what I want to sort of suggest is, I think there's certain relationships that you just make a decision that I love this person too much to not spend time with them. I'm going to let things, there's certain things I'm going to let them go because it's not worth the battle. I know at this point who she is, who I am, or who he is, who I am. And we've tried. We've tried in our improper, ineffective, lack of really understanding how to communicate in the past, because that's really what it was. I mean, really, when you're arguing with somebody, when you're in a fight with somebody, when you reach that point of anger, it's really that you're not able to express your needs. And you're not able to express them in a way that they're being heard, that they're being received, that you're being valued, that you're being listened to. So you hit an impasse. And you make a decision. Do I want to continue to develop my form of communication? Do I want to continue to develop me so that I can continue to communicate with people who anger me, so that I can continue trying to hear what they're saying and understand what they're saying, so I can continue to try to explain, lift their level of consciousness, improve that relationship? And then there's certain people that you just are not committed to enough. There's certain people that you just think, I don't have it in me right now. I just don't have it in me right now to put the effort into evolving myself to evolve this relationship. I just don't have it in me. And that's really when a relationship falls apart. There's something in you that you make a decision to say, I don't want to, or I can't. And usually it's I don't want to, because we always can. We can always improve. And let me tell you, I'm speaking from experience. Somebody that doesn't speak to her mother, doesn't speak to her father, doesn't speak to her brother, doesn't speak to 90% of her family members. So I'm really speaking from experience that I know we all can hit that impasse. And I've hit it in places in my life. And I have family members that are all like that. I come from a family that I don't like you, I don't talk to you. So it probably makes it easier than if I had loved ones that were saying, Crystal, please, please come to Christmas. We can talk. I'd be there. But yeah, so I'm really wanting to support you today as you're going into the holiday season. There's a lot of get-togethers. It doesn't even matter. Like I said, you don't even have to celebrate Christmas. There's so many Christmas parties through work. There's so many different celebrations at this time of the year in so many different families and cultures and religions that I want to support you in being able to sort of make a decision to say, I'm not going to go to this event because I don't have it in me to have either enough patience, the desire to evolve my communication skills. I don't accept them or love them enough to be willing to compromise myself. I'm just not willing to dig deep enough right now to try to be understood. And how do you say no to that get-together and to that party in a way that doesn't have to create massive dysfunction and drama? And on the other hand, can you go to these get-togethers in a way where you just start to live and let live, where you go in without any expectation, where you literally go in neutral? You know, I was talking with somebody last week. She was going to Thanksgiving in the States, and she said, I'm really going in being positive. I said, don't go in being positive, because going in being positive, your pendulum's too far one way. Just go in being neutral. Don't go in with any expectations. Don't go in with a big, huge smile on your face, even though every time you've gotten together with these people, you leave crying. Don't go in there like you're going to go in as the happy person again. Don't go in there as the light, you know, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, and I'm going to turn it up so bright at this event. I just want everybody to see that I'm still going to rise above everything. Go in there just neutral. Just go in neutral. Just go in and just observe. Find your way through it. Don't let, be an observer of this event, and know that you are not the part of you that gets really angry, gets worked up, or has to have an argument. I'm really giving myself all my own advice. How can you go in and just be an observer of this and not let any of it really get to you? You're sort of non-attached. You're detached. These are all people in your family or, you know, a circle of friends. You didn't choose them, but there's something to learn here from all of them. And how can you go about, you know, your holiday season in a way that doesn't have to faze you? You don't have to get stressed about presents. You don't have to get stressed about money. You don't have to give more than you can afford to lose. And you don't have to take on more than you can afford to take on. So whether that's what's on your mind today or not, I would love to support you. So those of you that are on your cell phones right now, all you need to do, or not necessarily cell phones, your phones, all you need to do is press *2. And I'm counting on you, and I see you all there, because this really isn't a chat with Crystal, and this really isn't coaching unless I can support you. So no matter what you're going through right now, no matter what's on your mind, if you're frustrated with a family member, if you're frustrated with a partner, your children, if you're frustrated and just unsure, you can't seem to find your way really right now through something, I would love to just be that person that's just a little outside of your fence, a little outside of your forest. I have no agenda. My whole motive is to support you, to help you see things through a higher perspective, clearer lenses for you, so that you can be happier, so that you can be more empowered, so that you can find your way through this a little bit easier. So *2, for those of you that are on your phones right now, all you got to do is press *2. You will not unmute your line. All you will do is just come up in the queue, and I'll be able to see that I have some of you to coach today. So I'm going to go to the phone lines. I see you there, Nina from Vancouver. I'm so excited that you called in today. Nina, is this our first time talking?
It is. How are you, Crystal?
How are you, darling?
I'm doing great.
I've been just loving watching you and your business growing and watching you evolve and just seeing, just, you know, as you came into the SWOT Institute and you've just whizzed through and done so well and you've set so many boundaries up in your own life right now. How is all of that working for you?
Well, I think with the last couple of weeks with the breakout of the hives, actually it wasn't even hives, it was scabies. And it was interesting how I connected dots to a lady that I've been not energetically connected to, where I was going to get spa services.
Yeah.
And I think that's where I caught this.
So share this with everyone, just so that for someone that doesn't know, they're not maybe not in the SWOT Sisterhood Facebook group, and they don't know Nina, and they don't know what you just said, when they're like, what, someone has scabies? So share, just backtrack a little bit,
okay,
and just give everybody just a little bit of a background, because you've had some major, major changes, and you really sort of stepped up in your family in a way that probably no one in your family has ever done before.
No. So what's been happening the last couple of months, I was doing fine. Energy was good. I was feeling really, really good because I had done so much work in the last 7 years, energy work, and healing myself, my family, and putting up huge boundaries. But I guess my boundaries weren't high enough. So what had happened was I started kind of feeling undone. I thought I had hives. I went to see my naturopath doctor, I normally do, and she thought I was hives, and it really wasn't, and we kept going. And then I kept going worse, where at one point my boys had gone to India for 3 weeks. So I was on my own. So basically one night it got so bad that I basically passed out. This was just last Sunday that I passed out. Yeah, I had to call an ambulance. I was so weak.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I was so weak. I didn't know what to do. Called an ambulance, and they took me to the hospital. Did nothing. Did blood work. I was fine. Did ECG. Everything was fine. And went back to my doctor the next day, and she says, it's scabies. And I said, oh, wow. So then I went back to my, and she told me to get a cream and put me on some meds, and we did that. And I went back to my naturopath who's been working for the last 7 years, and we started connecting the dots, and she wanted me to connect them. That's the work I did with her, connect what's been going on in my life the last number of weeks or months. So basically I connected down. It was scabies. Probably I need to increase my boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
Increase my unbound, and I connect the dots for myself, what would have been happening. This lady that just with her, it just wasn't, we weren't resonating, and I was always, you know, talking about family. She was we connected well for one, and then I put my boundaries out with her because we just weren't on the same page anymore. So the universe is trying to teach me through the scabies to put up your boundaries, not be
well,
careful.
Well, it's interesting. Louise Hay says scabies are, you're allowing other people to get under your skin.
Exactly. That's what's been happening.
Yeah. So, and again, some people would say that's, I just want to just be clear. Some people would say that's crazy. The reason you have scabies is because you, I don't know, what is the Western medicine? I would love to look that up. The Western medicine theory on scabies. Did you look that up?
No, I didn't. That's a good question.
I'm going to look it up right now while you're talking.
Oh, great.
Western medicine, reasons. See how
I wasn't surprised. I was not surprised it happened, but that's where it had to come to before I had to learn that lesson.
Okay, so Western medicine would say someone right now who is maybe a doctor or someone who isn't totally in our woo-woo spiritual world as well would say, are you crazy? Did you just say that you got scabies because you let people get under your skin? No, you got scabies because there was a little mite that got under your skin and fed and survived. But here's what I always say, and that's what I always love bringing the two together, because honestly, Yvonne, who is our dean at the SWAT Institute, would say, Crystal, you do not ever go on the air and tell people they got scabies because they let people get under the skin, because she's all, you know, she's Western medicine, and you know, so some would say no, it's a little mite that burrows under the skin and lays eggs, and it happens to children who are in, you know, who are in school or daycare, parents of young children, you know, people who are around the elderly, people who are around people with immune suppressant disorders. So, but you really connected it to, because this is what I will always say, okay, but why did I get it now? This is why I always ask myself. So, you know, someone might say, you know, let's say I twisted my ankle when I was out running. You know, some people would say, including my husband, you twisted your ankle out running because you hit a little pothole and your ankle tendons aren't strong enough and your ankle twisted over and you twisted your ankle and it's nothing more than that. But I always would do just what you're doing. I would say, but why? Why right now in my life, why would that whole thing, that series of things happen where my ankle wouldn't be strong enough to, because I hit lots of potholes? Why right now would that have happened? And so you're really sort of connecting the dots and saying, let's even take it further than just the woman at the spa. Your ex-husband, has he been getting under your skin?
That, and again, more boundaries there. And also I think where I'm stepping on business, it came at a perfect timing for me as the New Year's approaching. So I was able to connect everything. Okay, this is perfect timing. As I'm stepping up, the world's getting to know me and what I do. Yes, this had to happen for me as a wake-up call. It wasn't a bad thing. It didn't feel good. My adrenals are still drained, and I'm getting acupuncture. I'm still 100%, but I will get there. But it was a huge lesson for me. And another thing, and I went back to my lady I've been working with. I said, why? I've been doing so well. And she goes, don't think it's a negative thing. She goes, your soul doesn't matter what it is. Every obstacle you've had to go through, your soul had to go through it. And you have to believe it's a good thing. It was harder than it was for the last couple of weeks because I had basically talked about family. I had no one. I basically had to let go of every friend.
Yeah,
like,
Let's slow down because you talk fast like me. So here's what I'm hearing, which is interesting. So beyond the fact, why did I get the scabies? You then had to go through this healing crisis or this sort of physical crisis that your body was going through, and it was probably very painful enough that you passed out and had to call an ambulance to take
you
to the hospital.
Oh, I walked around naked for a week because the boys weren't here because I thought I had shingles. That's how bad it was.
Wow. And all of those things are still, though, I would still say, because I'm just like you, I would always connect I have to connect the dots because we are not just a body. The body is the messenger. The body is the messenger of your soul, of your spirit, of your needs, of your desires, of your wants. Your body will show you when you're really trusting yourself, listening to yourself, honoring yourself, when you're in that flow. And it's, again, just, you know, like that woman said to you, well, you don't be mean to yourself about it. It's like being mad at yourself, you know, being, mad at my body because my spirit is trying to tell me something. And however it's not getting my attention, this is the way that it got my attention.
Exactly.
Now, on top of it, though, what I'm hearing is now I'm in this sort of healing, this health crisis, and I don't have any friends, and I don't have any family. Oh, my gosh. What did that, what happened, like, again, what happened for you, and when did you start to make the decision of that transition between letting go of friends and family that really, you're going to fill in the blank, did what to you, caused you to feel what, how did you feel around them, to there's this hard place that I think a lot of us don't want to go through, which is that transition of letting go of the old to make room for the new, but being in that space in between of, I feel really alone.
I think for me it was, again, what had happened with my family, because I was stepping up. And also I realized...
And why don't you share a little bit with your about what your family, for those that are listening that don't have a clue what you're talking about.
Yeah, so I was bought in a belief system and a culture that women didn't speak up. I was brought up, wasn't taught about emotions. Basically, I lived in a very conscious environment where I ended up getting everything under the sun, depression, IBS, hormone issues,
you
name it.
Your body is saying, my God, Nina, your spirit actually is saying, Nina, mm-hmm. you're so headed down the wrong, you're so out of alignment. What I always know is when my body, let's say, for example, I go for a walk, and if I can walk, when I'm walking, I just scan every single muscle, and I just keep scanning, looking for anything that hurts, anything that's tight, anything that's, and I always talk to my body, and you know, I love, like today I went for a long walk, and nothing hurt. And it was this feeling of, oh, I'm falling into alignment. Things are falling into alignment. And so when something gets off and it starts to hurt, rather than fighting it or being mad at it, I always go, oh, there's just something out of alignment, something stretching.
Well, I didn't know how to do that. I was never taught that.
Yes, most of us don't.
Nope.
Most of us don't. So your body is screaming for you to pay attention, and finally you did.
Yeah, and that wasn't until 2008 where I met my mentor, and I did her work. It was not easy because everything had suppressed, had come to the surface, to the point where 1 year I basically collapsed. 7 months I'd not get out of bed while I still had to look after my kids. My younger one was about, oh God, I think he was grade 6 or 7 at the time. He's almost finishing high school now. And I watched everybody who I thought loved me basically couldn't even get a glass of water. That's how bad it got.
Yeah. So all these people that you thought loved you, yeah, nobody was there.
No one
for
was
you.
There. No, they told me basically get up. I'm faking it, go back to work. My work wouldn't even take me back. I was so sick. I tried to go back to work thinking that would keep me busy, but I was so sick I could not go back to work. My body was now releasing all this negativity with the work I was doing with this lady.
Okay. So you were actually doing work now. So
yeah, I was working with someone, so I didn't know.
And again, a lot of people, this is what I'm getting at, sort of there's this space in between what was and what will be. And that space that was, that you're, when you leave what was and you're moving towards what will be, this is the hardest space. This is why people don't stick to changes. This is why people don't kind of hang in there through that. They don't have that faith and trust that, hey, I'm kind of climbing a mountain right now, and I'm really, I'm hanging on to the edges of some cliffs here, but I'm good. I will get up there. I'm going to get, once I get up there, it's a whole different place.
And had I known that I had to go through this work to heal, she goes, you have to get worse before you get better. And
I hate telling people that. I never tell people that.
As I was doing the work and feeling, why am I feeling? She goes, well, things have to get better for you. And I was able to understand it because I had done so much. She knew I had done work before. She's very good that way and sympathetic. But had she not known that I had done work with another naturopathic doctor for 10 years who she trained under as well and didn't result, she also suffered. She's also the same cultural as me. So she had suffered a lot too.
Okay.
So we understood each other at that level.
Right. So there was a real deep connection.
Yeah,
so,
I totally believe that.
So your mentor helped bring you through this, and bring us up to speed now.
Yeah, so after that, 2012, tried, gave him 2 years to work things out. Nope, he was very asleep. Again, cultural stuff.
The Who's men, this? Your partner?
My ex.
Your husband?
My ex.
Was he your husband at the time?
At the time, in 2012. And we separated because now I had a voice. I could speak up because I knew what was been happening. It connected all my dots, right?
Let's connect those dots for everybody. So what you really realized was I wasn't speaking my truth, or I wasn't
exactly.
even speaking.
I wasn't speaking. I didn't know how to speak up. I was so shut down from
so
the
So tell me
the
what that really tell me so someone that's listening right now, because we use these terms now, so sort of speak your truth, use your voice. I think a lot of women that don't even know their, because denial, here's the thing about denial, Nina, and you can probably attest to this as well. Until you're out of a situation, you don't even realize how lost you were in it.
And oh, you're so unconscious. I had no idea.
That's it. Like, denial is, I love the acronym, didn't even notice I am lost. You don't know you're lost until you start realizing you're finding yourself. So let's really explain, when you say that, I didn't use my voice, I didn't speak my truth. Give me an example. What does that really mean? Something happened.
I think for me, I didn't even know what emotions were. So when this lady woke me up to emotions and feeling and understanding that for myself, that's when I was like, okay, well, I can say that. It's okay if I say no, because I was so used to saying yes all the time.
Yeah, and it's okay if I say no, that I'm not used to it, so I'm going to feel weird feelings that I've never felt before. I might even feel embarrassed. I might feel unsure. And it's really having someone assure you that this is part of the process. It's sort of like, it's like buyer's remorse, speaker's remorse. You start using your voice in the beginning, and this, again, is why so many women say, not just your voice. I'm not talking about reading a storybook to your children. You used your voice. I'm not talking about singing a song on the radio. You're using your voice. I'm talking about really telling the truth about what you feel about things, your opinion, your true, honest opinion. If you're sitting around the table and everybody's talking about something, and you, and let's say they're all talking about something about women in your culture, and the old you might have sat and listened, but the new you, when you started using your voice, you might have spoken up when none of the other women would have had an opinion and spoken up, and you might have said, well, you know, what I believe, and that's what it means to suddenly start using your voice. Can you share sort of how you see it, Nina?
I think for me, for instance, it was before if I went, I had to go to a family, because our culture expects all the women to dress up and go. Put on your makeup and go.
And your culture is your culture Indian?
Indian, East Indian. Sikh.
East Indian, okay.
Yeah. So now that I could speak up.
And all the women are so done up.
Oh, they are. And it's just a face they put up. They're really
is it almost like, and I don't know, because I don't know enough, but I've had a lot of friends and I've had a lot of students and a lot of clients from, I don't know what it is about me, I really connect with women from India. And when you say East Indian, what does that mean?
Oh, they're the worst. They're the worst, Asian. So I remember instant where my mother-in-law had called me.
They're the worst. They're not the worst. They're not the worst. Moving on.
It feels that because you're in it.
You feel that because you're in it, but I promise you, they're not the worst. Actually, a lot of the Indian women are some of the most empowered, really, for a lot of cultures. But go ahead.
Right, yeah. So I remember instant where my mother had called me about coming to a gathering, and I said, and she knew I was really sick. I'd barely get out of bed. And she said, there's nothing wrong with you. Come. So I was starting to say no. And we had to end up getting, it was the first time I actually argued with at that point, because I was so controlled by my father and her. So basically, looking at it, I was really never married to him. I didn't know who I was. I was basically married to a culture.
So, yeah, just really to make this clear to a woman listening right now. So the example of speaking up or using your voice is an example of your mother calls you and says, there's a community get together. There's something in our culture. There's some kind of event, or there's something in the family, and I want you to come. And
yeah,
the old
and
you
no.
would have said, "Okay, I'll do the best I can." And you wouldn't even have said that. You would have just pulled yourself together and put on one of your fancy, gorgeous outfits and gone.
Yeah, and so I said no, and she hung up on me.
Okay.
She hung up on me, and I told my husband at the time, and he was controlled by the family too. So he didn't know what to do. He always said, no, my mom didn't do that. You can never confront her about it.
Because part of what I remember years, and my first experience, it was really quite incredible. I had this opportunity to first, I started coaching a woman that she lived in Chicago, but her background was from India. And then she really wanted help with her marriage, so then I started coaching her and her husband. And then she wanted me to start helping her mother. So then I was coaching her mother, and then she wanted me to coach her sister. Before I knew it, I was individually coaching every aspect of this family. I got such an understanding of the culture, and the culture from, and tell me if I'm wrong, but the culture from what I remember just witnessing and watching, and I had to be very culturally sensitive because what I believe maybe in my culture is what? No, the needs of one person cannot be sacrificed for the needs of the family. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. But what I really picked up on was the needs of the family always come before the needs of one individual person in the family.
And that's so true. So in my ex's family, the mother-in-law's needs were always met. She was a narcissist. I actually connected a lot of dots that I was, had a lot of relationship with narcissists as an empath. So I made a lot of connections there for myself as well.
Mm-hmm.
So her needs, like you said, her needs were always met. She was never wrong. I was always, she was always right and I was always wrong.
And that's your mother-in-law?
Yeah.
Now, so is that also, again, I'm asking some sort of cultural things and I'm putting you on the spot, so we can't speak for all, but is something in the Indian culture that, and this is why I was saying, there's a lot of very powerful Indian women that I know, and maybe they are the matriarchs, maybe they are, is there a place for one woman to be the boss, though? Like, when you say all women aren't supposed to speak up, isn't that matriarch, isn't she allowed to speak up? Or does she still follow a code of rules?
No, it's funny. That's an interesting question. She spoke up. When there was a problem, she spoke up.
That's what I'm saying. Like, when you say
so
Indian women, I'm
mean?
Like, well, no, because I've coached many Indian women who I have to be very careful to not even insult because they're so damn empowered.
No, the mother-in-law is from there. It's that generation, that first generation, the gap. They're allowed to speak up, but it's been a belief system. They've been following that the mother-in-law can say whatever she wants, but the daughter-in-law has to shut up.
The
but
daughter-in-law,
like
right.
Said,
and
yeah.
Then do you think that the day comes where almost when the daughter-in-law finally freaking gets old enough and she's in charge, that she now takes that same, hey, I had to be submissive. I had to be oppressed. So I had to suck it up, buttercup. And now I'm the one in charge. My son has gotten married. And, you know, like, do you see how sort of that, because the healing hasn't happened, like, can you imagine, Nina, if you hadn't broken out of this, you have two sons, and then one day your sons get married and you became the witch mother-in-law?
That's exactly what's happening. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
You're right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I really did break a huge cycle for my family.
You really did. And you're the black sheep. So the black sheep are never liked.
Exactly.
I love your laugh of truth. I'm the black sheep. And, you know, I always thought I was the angel in my – I have literally thought to myself, I don't know why I'm sort of ostracized like the black sheep, because I'm actually the angel in this family. Like, that's what I would think to myself. I would think, I would go in kind. I would go in loving. I would go in and say, it doesn't matter if we buy presents. Don't worry to get fixed up. I don't care about – just come to my house. Don't bring any food. I'll do it all. Like, but somehow I would always be the one, because even in all that love, if something was oppressive – I would speak up.
That's right. So I was always saving the day, no matter what, because I was so caring and loving.
Yes, yes. So your body began to implode on you because you weren't being caring and loving to yourself.
Nope.
And finally, in 2012, was that when you made the decision to say?
Yeah. So I
and this is what I'm getting at. There's the decision to say, I'm going to do more work on myself to figure out how to bring a higher level of consciousness to this darkness. Or we make the decision to say, I don't have it in me anymore to put this much work into this family. And that's a decision you made.
Exactly.
Yeah. And did you feel guilty? Did you feel guilty? Did you feel guilty?
That went on for a year or two. I did. And I think the last year or so is where I kept moving forward, did my work with a mentor and other stuff and with you. I finally broke free of the guilt. I finally accept that this is what, and then increase my boundaries. I'm at the point now.
And I'm noticing your social media posts, and I love them, and I always try to, whenever I see them, I hope you know I love them or I like them or I comment.
Yeah,
I try to do that. But I notice these sort of, I love watching, again, myself as well. So, for example, maybe you saw some of my posts in the last little bit over the election and how outraged I was or how upset I was or how
right.
And how you can be a very empowered woman that resonates in love, but it doesn't mean you can't still comment on things that are that you need to shine light on. You need to bring light consciousness to. So I noticed some of your posts are, I can almost feel it, because where those posts are resonating is still, and this is, you know, it's really important that we do this, Nina, because I almost get frustrated when people act like there shouldn't be any level of frustration in your blogs, commentary, social media posts, because you're supposed to be this enlightened person. So it's almost like people want us to spiritually bypass the reality of what you've just gone through, and you're really trying to talk in a language and a lingo that a woman who right now might be living in a family or a culture or a marriage where she feels so oppressed and she doesn't have her voice, you're trying to speak in a way to get her out of that muck.
Exactly, yeah. And spiritual bypassing is huge, I find, in a culture, in other cultures as well.
I'm so sick of the spiritual bypass. It's like, just be like Gandhi. You know, well, wait, wait a second. Gandhi still talked about things. Gandhi shined light on those oppressions. Gandhi didn't just say, let's all sit together and meditate. Gandhi was still an activist. Gandhi still had his voice. Gandhi still starved himself. Gandhi did all kinds of things that maybe didn't appear to be, that seemed controversial, seemed, why you got to be a big mouth, although he did it with the spirit of love. So there's this really special place that we have to find as leaders, where we are speaking the language of our what our client needs, knowing we're bringing them higher.
Exactly.
Yeah. So here you are now. You're headed into the holidays. How are your scabies? I'm sorry to laugh. How are the scabies?
I feel much better now. I know what it is. I've been able to treat it properly. And, yeah, and I'm just doing some acupuncture, which is helping. So it's calmed down. The itching has calmed down. Feel much better. And, after connecting dots, it's definitely, this has been going on for a while, where I just had to step up and to start saying no to these people and really looking after myself and change my sponsors as well.
Yeah, so let's go back just to this woman. Let's say, as an example now, again, where you didn't use your voice, you didn't speak your truth. So you're in getting a cert. Let's say you're getting a facial done, and you're talking about your beliefs, and you're feeling like, she's not resonating. She's not jiving with what you believe or what you feel. Is that what sort of was happening?
That exactly right. And we're saying culture. She's actually talking about empowered new one. She's very empowered Indian woman. She left the marriage. We actually ended up using the same mediators that we use, lawyers, for our divorce.
Yeah.
And she has two boys. And we started connecting.
Some level, there was a great connection.
Right. She couldn't understand that she was always outspoken. Her dad was good. She had a really upbringing. And I think that's where we were breaking apart. She couldn't understand that wasn't compassionate about what had happened to me. Right.
So here, so here's, I'm just jutting in. I don't mean to interrupt you again. So here's what I'm hearing is this is where, you know, it gets hard because, Nina, I made the same decision as you to not be around my family. And some people in my, you know, whoever it might be, someone else might say, oh, my mother died 5 years ago. Crystal, you have to go and see your mother. You have to get this right. And I want to go, you think I don't want to? You think I would choose to have a severed, broken relationship with my own mother? Some people don't understand. It's like there are so many moving parts to relationships and to people. And there has to be some level of her father allowed her to speak back to her. Her father allowed her, if she were to say, well, if my dad told me something, I would have just told him to be quiet. Well, on some level, something in the way you were raised and the way I was raised, we were not allowed to speak back.
Exactly.
I was not allowed to speak back. Like, I yelled at my father one time, once in my life, and it wasn't until I was about 40 years old. And I couldn't believe it, and we really have never spoken again. Because there's no tolerance for him. He cannot believe his child, his 40-year-old daughter, who, and if I told you all the reasons, you would actually be like, I can't even believe you spoke to him. But the point, you know, it wasn't even for me. It was something he was doing to my little stepbrother, and I was just finally like, I freaked for about 10 seconds, 30 seconds, frothed for about 30 seconds. And some people would say, well, that's just, yeah, you're right. That was not enlightened to me at all. I was so goddamn angry that I'd watched and witnessed my father neglect, abuse, betray all of his loved ones, including his children, my entire life. Now you're doing it with your 16-year-old son. You're blaming your 16-year-old son. You are the asshole, and I'm going to stand up for my brother. Now, some people would say, well, that wasn't very enlightened. You frothed, you flipped, you know, you threw a glass. Mm-hmm. Yeah, never done anything like that before. But holy moly, the laugh afterwards, I laughed so hard, you know, that laugh of truth. Mm-hmm. I was almost giddy. I was like, I cannot believe what I've just done. But I knew, well, I didn't know. The fact is, my father has never spoken to me again. So, you know, we also have to realize that, okay, now if I wanted to really work hard, my dad would speak to me. If I really wanted to put the effort in to tolerate the way that he acts, and if I, the truth is, I would like to think that one day I will be enlightened enough that I will be able to go to my father no matter what he says, no matter what he does, I'll be able to just think, Dad, I love you. I love you. I can't spend extensive amounts of time with you, but I love you. I would love to think that the day will come that I could get there. I'm not strong enough. I'm not strong enough. And I think that's a fair thing to say for you and I, rather than feel like we have to defend our point of view that, nope, they're in the wrong, I can't be around them. It's sort of like, I can't be around them. I can't be around them. Here's why I can't be around them, Nina, because mm-hmm. it takes so much energy, at least in my mind, the energy that it sucked from me my whole life to be around them. I would rather right now not have them in my life and have all this abundance of good energy and so much joy that I can do these calls, that I've built the SWAT Institute, that I can help thousands and thousands of women, that I can, you know, the same amount of energy that it took to do all of that, I probably could have put into just completely working on every part of my triggers and my form of communication so I could still have a relationship with my family. Do you agree or do you disagree?
Yeah, and that's exactly what I've had to do. I've totally let go because even it got to a point where my brother supports them. He doesn't see, because he was a king. They were waiting for a boy.
I get it.
So he doesn't see any of it.
No, because it's a different experience. My sister's only 7 years younger than me, but that's a huge difference when, you know, you move out at 15. You're only 8, Tiffany. You were only 8. I had already been sexually abused by three different men. You don't know anything about it. So my sister will say, it wasn't like that. I don't know what you're talking about. And I still choose to love her. And that's the one person that I still, my sister will say, my Madeline will say, are we still getting together with blah, blah, blah? And I say, we are. Because I still love her. She doesn't know. She didn't see it. She didn't have the experiences. She can still, I can't convince her of what I experienced, and I don't want to spend the time, because for a lot of my life we never ever argued, but it wasn't until I again got to be bolder and stronger and started talking about things like this, like that I just said this on a call, that all of a sudden all my whole family were like, ooh, and my sister was sort of like realized it's coming out. Like, if you can, it's coming out. I'm going to talk about things. And it was finally at that point that my sister started saying, that didn't happen. I don't remember that happening. That was so hurtful to me, because it was almost like, are you literally siding with these assholes who abused you, who abused me, who abused your brother? Are you? No, she'd say, no, I know they're all assholes, but it wasn't. I say, well, no, your experience is yours, but my experience is mine, and my experience was really, really, really abusive, like excessively, insanely abusive, and for me to be back around that, it just takes so much energy to stay in the light. And maybe I'm selfish. I don't have it to give to them right now. I don't want to give it to them right now. I don't want to. Let them miss me or let them hate me. Let them talk about me. I really hope the day will come that I'm healed enough that I can completely and utterly forgive them, because I feel like I'm forgiving them, but clearly not enough, because I still can't forgive and be around them.
Mm-hmm. So, and what's interesting was I didn't realize until I started doing the work that my 22, now 22, was unconsciously I was treating him. I really wasn't there for me. So we married
son?
Each other.
Your
My son?
Son
is 22, yeah.
Yeah.
So
okay.
We married each other, exactly what happened. He was developing IBS at a young age. He's actually feeling better now as I did my work.
Yeah, you know what's beautiful, though? What's beautiful about being a very conscious mother is realizing that we made mistakes with our kids. As enlightened as I am and as loving as I am, you know, my kids, there's the odd time something will come out and I think, I'm almost horrified. Like, I think to myself, oh, God, get this right now. Oh, my God. Because I don't want anyone to ever think that I did. Did I do that? Really? Like, there's the odd time where I think to myself, you know, you never know what your kids will come out with. And my kids, I've raised them to, you know, I say right now that you can question authority. You can, I tell them everything they're allowed to do, but there's a way to do it. You're not allowed to freak. You're not allowed to snub. You're not allowed to dismiss. You're not allowed to stonewall. You're not allowed to rage, scream. But you can absolutely discuss anything with anybody, and that's their choice to decide if they want to be a part of that conversation with you. But with that means I've also raised my daughters to say whatever the hell they think about me. So the other night, I'm at this event that my daughters put on, and I literally am like, okay, again, I'm saying this. I can't believe I say this shit that should be in a vault, and I'm saying it publicly. But mm-hmm. So my daughter just says this one little, probably she didn't even realize it, but you'd never do that for me, Mom, in front of all of these people. You'd never do that for me, that one of the other mothers was going to do for, and I really thought to myself, no, I wouldn't do that, because I wouldn't, to get into it, it just doesn't matter, but you know, those little things. So it's that consciousness of realizing your children are their own people, and they have to have that expression in that place to be able to talk to you the way that you needed with your dad.
Mm-hmm. And that's actually what my son did, and it was interesting because I was doing the 12-week emotional edge at the time, and me and my ex, we were separated at the time, and I was listening to one, and he walked in. Again, I wasn't fully conscious this time. This was in 2012 or 2013, and he's walking. He goes, I hope that's sinking in, Mom. He's a very old soul. He's a very old soul.
Yeah. Well, out of the mouth of babes. You know, my Julia, the youngest, she'll really just throw digs at me sometimes where I'm like, huh? Is that how you feel? Like, and then you realize, of course, like as fabulous as our persona and our brand and our, mm-hmm. and our, mm-hmm. all of that is, and it's true and it's real and it's authentic. They, our children see, have seen us in our absolute worst, our absolute best.
Mm-hmm.
They know it. And it's sort of like your body, your children and your body. You can't fake it to them. You can't. They know it. They see it. They are part of you. They feel you. They feel. They know when you're truly happy. They know when you're not. You know, my daughter will have such anger at my husband. And I realize now that it had nothing to do with my husband. It did, but it had to do when I would be angry at my husband. She picked up and felt what I felt, so she would be angry at my husband. So I had a responsibility. I realized I'm actually molding and shaping the way they see men, the way they see the world, the way they see. So I've empowered them in some ways, but man, what if I've, and I've really, when I started realizing the impact I had on my daughters, the way they would view men, it became this mission for me to heal this part of me, because I do not want to be anti-man. I want to be pro-love. And pro-respect and pro-all genders and pro-life and pro-choice and pro, I wanted to be pro, not anti-anything. Mm-hmm. So your son, what is he, where is he at now? What is he reflecting to you in a really honest moment?
I think he's empowered. We have a lot more respectful relationship. There's no more yelling and screaming in my house anymore. He's just a mellow.
And if that did happen, what would you do? If all of a sudden, because it's going to, and it may never again, but let's say all of a sudden you have this moment where, you know, he starts speaking to you in a way where you're like, do you know who I am? And here's the thing. No, they don't. Like, you know, I sometimes think to myself, do you know who I am? Like, I want to say that to my daughter. Do you know who I am? You do not speak to me this way. Nobody speaks to me this way, but they will. Until we continue to teach them. But so what will you do? What would happen right now if all of a sudden your son raged and yelled at you and said things that really hurt your feelings?
I'm a lot more non-reactive now. I listen.
Yeah.
And because he's still going through his stuff with his dad, because he sees his dad is still.
He's always going to be going through stuff, as he just
exactly.
always is.
So I'm a lot more.
I mean, just as a man, as a human, he's always going to
go
through things.
So I accept where he's coming from and really listen, and it just passes so much smoother now. There's no me yelling the old drama queen and picking up the phone and calling
my
dad.
Well, and you were so angry because of your father and your ex, mm-hmm. and there's mm-hmm. so much anger. And then on top of it, you've got sons. So you're being confronted with men every day of your life.
Exactly. That's a good point you just made right there. So things are a lot calmer. We had a situation yesterday because he just returned from India and he's tired. And
Slow down. You said that so fast that became
sorry.
One word.
Yeah. So
say that again. Something happened yesterday?
So they just returned from the trip from India with their father. And there's a
okay, so they were over in India for a few weeks with their
dad? For 3 weeks, yeah.
Okay.
So they just returned the other day and they were tired, didn't want to walk the dog, and he yelled at me. And the old me would have called his dad, you brought the dog in, you deal with it. I just let him have his thing for 5 minutes. And then he got out of the room and said, Mom, I'm going to walk the dog.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
Yeah, wonderful. Could you imagine that the day would come that you could be able to be like that with your brother, your father, your mother?
I don't know, Crystal. My dad's really, really in his culture and belief and religion. He just lives with it.
Yeah. I wonder, I mean, I say the same thing. I think to myself, I wonder if the day could come that I could actually be around all my family and have that same level of love and acceptance that I have for my children.
And it doesn't help because then my dad does kind of wake up a little bit, my mom shuts him down. No, that's wrong.
But what if you could still just have a level of love and acceptance knowing they're never going to change?
And that's where I've come to now and doing my mentorship. And I had a talk with her last week. And she goes, they're not. She goes, look at me now. They're not waking up. She goes, the world is asleep. She goes, look,
yeah.
You've been through this journey for 7 years now. Is anybody that you know in your life, other than your new friends or the new world you created for yourself, have they woken up? I go,
yeah.
No. She goes, yeah. So I've had to step
so
that.
So here's where
that
I'm at, Nina, and this is why I think I'm projecting a little bit, because I'm sort of in a similar place where it was really the election that did it to me, because I saw such polarity. How could essentially good people, like, I mean, you know, I've been my own healing journey, and it's like, really, when you think about, like, who would, you know, I'm kind of going off, but I've been walking a lot with my dogs,
mm-hmm.
every day, and I mean, long walks. I did 8 kilometers today. I did 10 kilometers on Sunday. I did 6 kilometers yesterday. So I have these long walks alone, and I live out in the country. So it's not like walking down the street in Toronto or walking
mm-hmm.
along the beaches in Toronto or walking where some people would be scared, but there's just so many people that to me, that's safety. When there's a lot
mm-hmm.
of people around, that's safety to me. Whereas I go on these long walks, and I don't want to use the word abducted, but I was grabbed at night, and I was dragged behind a bush and raped. So that's when I was 14. And so that's always, you know, I realize that when I go for walks with my dogs, I started watching Caesar, you know, the dog whisperer. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, he talks about sort of how your dogs, when you're walking, they feel you. And it's sort of like your children. You can't fake it to your dogs, your children, or your body. Because as much as you want to act like you're a calm, centered, grounded owner, master, if I see someone so far in the distance, my dogs start pulling and they bark as they get closer. They're just literally like, wah, 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 wah. And I would be so embarrassed, like, sorry, my dogs are just, you know, when you're 5 pounds, you're all bark.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I yell out all that stuff. But the truth is, what I realized is, as much as I could fake it, I saw somebody way far in the distance. I'm in the middle of nowhere. Absolutely nobody could hear me yell. Nobody could hear me scream. But I thought to myself, this has just started changing. This healing is happening for me in the last couple of weeks, because I thought, isn't that sad that I go through life always on guard that someone could get me? And I've really had to start kind of walking through my fears and saying, okay, what are the reality? What is the probability? What are the possibilities? This is one of the things you have to do sometimes when you have a fear. What's the possibility this could happen? The probability this could happen? What is, you know, all of that. And so I've really started out getting much calmer about the idea of, like, okay, there's way more good people in the world than bad. It's not 50-50. It's probably really, realistically, 90-10. I really believe that. Like, I've almost gotten to that point that I'm like, 80% of the people in the world are good. I'm going to say 10% are not, and then 10% are evil. But on that realm, it means, so when I bring it back to this election, because this is what really sort of did it to me, where I started thinking, wait, what do? Do you just cut off everybody that bugs you? I have students. I have friends. I have people that
mm-hmm.
I've been in business with who we were so polarized on this election that I almost thought, like, I just wanted to go through and just unfriend. I can't stand seeing your posts anymore. I need to unfriend you. I can't. It's making me crazy to see the way that you see this. It's like, and that's when I realized, okay, Crystal, we have to go higher. You have to go higher. It's time to go higher. Like, you can't, you know, and that's what I'm getting at, Nina. If we are alone speaking this language of love, but we're not reaching, and when I say good people, you know,
mm-hmm.
I might say 80% of good people. I'm not talking about awake. There's probably only 20% of people that are awake. Probably 20% of people are awake and 80% of people are sleeping. And probably out of that 80%, only 10 of them are really pure evil.
Yeah,
the majority of
spiritual bypassing going on, right, in that.
That's just, yeah, but a lot of them don't even, a lot of those people are like sort of the spiritual bypassing. They're in the 20%. They're awake and they're like, oh, just, you can spiritually bypass all this stuff and be kind. But like what I'm getting at is, you really, the process to empowerment or to enlightenment, I would guess and I feel and I believe that you really have to honor each stage. So you setting boundaries with your family is necessary to teach them. Because spiritually bypassing it and saying, I just love them so much, I'm just going to go hang out with them anyways and just ignore their bad behavior, that is like sort of like saying, I love my kids so much, I'm just going to ignore their bad behavior. Well, no. You have to love your kids so much that you have to point out lovingly and gently, this is unacceptable behavior. It doesn't mean I don't still love you. But with your family members, and this is where I'm getting at with somebody that might say, just go turn the other cheek. I can't do it, not for me anymore or for them. I can't let them believe that I think the way that they have turned their head at so much abuse, the way that they have sided with the abusers, I can't let them believe that I think that that is acceptable. So the only way I know how to do it right now is to cut them out of my life so that they either miss me or they, whatever it is, so that I have some space away. And then maybe the day will come that I will have to re-enter and I will have to apologize for leaving, and then I will have to, I don't know. But I am reaching that point, Nina, that I'm thinking, I can't just unfriend. I can't just, 25% of Americans that voted a certain way hate them. What do we do? You know, this is where I'm starting to be pulled to say, what's the next step? What's the higher level?
And I felt the same way with the amount of people that were my friends on Facebook were reacting to it. And I come
some
from
of your
very,
posts or some of your
you know,
things.
I'm like, what? I'm like, I didn't say that way. It's like, the reactivity that goes on, it was just, you know, and another thing that happened was I had a virus on my system once. I couldn't believe the people that my friends were saying, I thought you were a nice person to just give me this virus. I was like, what?
Yeah. So there really has to be almost sort of this pause, step away, and be okay and not call it lonely. You really almost have to honor that space. It's no different. It's almost like imagining you're going on a silent retreat, and that just
That's
freaks
where I am
somebody
right now.
Out.
Good point. I'm on a silent retreat now. I've had to unfollow some people so I don't see their posts come. I'm just on a silent retreat. That's an excellent way of putting it.
Yeah. And I think that's a healthier way of sort of saying it to ourselves. You know, I went through, there's times where I've just felt like whatever I'm going through, you know, my child nearly died. My husband, I look at that and I think, my God, my husband last year had his artery in his arm severed
mm-hmm.
in two places. He nearly died and I didn't have one friend or family member I could even think of that I could call in the middle of the night while I'm sitting in an emergency room wondering if my husband's going to be alive in a few hours when I have to go in and I don't know. And those are those moments where I used to say to myself, I'm so lonely. I have nobody. I mean, I have thousands of women who love me, but I have no one in that crisis that I would call.
And that's how I felt. Like just last Sunday when I was in an emergency,
and
I'm like, oh, my God, my kids are gone to India. There's no one I could call. No one, absolutely no one.
Yeah, and there is. So here's what I need to remind you, and I need to remind myself, and I need to remind everyone that's listening on this line right now, that right now we are forming, I just ordered the book Love Warrior. I haven't read it yet. But I just spoke with somebody yesterday, and they said, you got to get this book. So it's sort of like I think you have to know that you can reach out to, I'm so glad you called today. Mm-hmm. I need you as much as you need me. I depend, you know, somebody might say to me, Crystal, you're a workaholic. And I actually want to say, I am, but you have to understand, these women, they give me back so much love, support, community, connection. Look at how I got to just talk out my stuff with you as much as you talked out your stuff with me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we have to remember right now, that we're not alone, that we're actually just sort of like shepherds. And you know, the shepherds don't have a lot of fun hanging out with the sheep all the time. And so mm-hmm. the shepherd has to go off sometimes and he's by himself as the shepherd, but you have to keep reaching out to other shepherds who get you, support you, love you, encourage you. Then maybe they don't live with you and maybe you're not going to have coffee with me, because you live in Vancouver and I live outside of Toronto. But we have to know that we're not alone, and we have to keep reaching out, whether it's to a mentorship coach through the SWOT Institute, whether it's to a call like this, whether it's on the private message forums we've created, whether it's that small group maybe in your life that isn't, but we have to keep doing this. And so I'm just so honored and grateful, Nina, that you've chosen me and the SWOT Institute to be one of those places that support you, because this is how we heal. This is how we grow. This is how we learn. And this is hopefully how one day we will be so empowered that we can actually be put into any storm around any wolves, any sheep, any wolves in sheep clothing, and still know that we are strong, we are fearless, and
I'm already feeling that.
And nobody can take us down.
Exactly.
Yeah. Is there anything else you want to share before we get ready to say goodbye?
No, that's about it. No, just kind of venturing out into the holidays and doing my own thing and organizing myself for some talks in New Year. Yeah, so that's about it.
Yeah. You know, my Christmas now is so quiet. It's crazy because I didn't have a Thanksgiving with anyone. Did I this year? Let me try to remember. My family. It's always just, it's my children. Now my children have boyfriends that they've been with that are part of, you know, and I'm really starting to become selective now. I've let go of a couple of long-term friendships in the last month too. Like, I mean, 25-plus year friendships that I just, we got together and I thought, every time we get together, you drink too much and you get mad and you end up screaming at me over something. And I had
that happen with one friend, yeah.
And at the minute she started to just get worked up, I gently pushed myself back from the table in the restaurant and said, you've done this to me way too many times, and you're not doing it to me again. And I quietly walked up, and I almost let the waiter think that I was like, hush, hush, hey, can you just give me the bill? I don't want them to know. It was the two of them. The three of us were up for dinner. I left the two of them sitting there. And for the first, I came home. I can't even believe I did this. It was just everything with the election, with everything, and the opinions, and the force, and the fighting, and the yelling. And I just went, I blocked them. I literally unfriended them. I blocked them. And then I went on my phone and put their phone number and all that stuff and blocked it. And I did feel a sense of, okay, there are days I'm going to have to circle around eventually and write them a letter and explain. But I don't have it in me. You take too much energy out of me. Every time I get together with you, I leave feeling like shit, and that's not what a friendship should be.
And that's what's happening with me. I was realizing I would just listen to these people. Like you said, they would say stuff when they're drinking, and I was like, what? And I would just walk away, and then I had to break out these scabies for me to realize
that's just for me. Yes,
so now
and I have my different ways.
Backed off with these people.
But for me, it was, at the same time, I had my Simply Woman, that group that we're, I don't know if you're a part of that, where we're going to love your body.
Mm-hmm.
That group has been huge for me. My telecourse was coming to an end. I just started just reorganizing my priorities and putting it into just what right now I almost like, and it doesn't make me weak to say, I am not strong enough to be around you when you're drinking and you're angry and you lash out at me. So at this point, I have to set a boundary because I'm not strong enough. Maybe you're strong enough. Maybe it's okay for you to have a flip out and wake up the next morning and feel like it's fine. That is not going to happen to me anymore. No one is going to speak to me that way anymore. Now, someone might say, well, that's crazy. That's not real life. People are always going to be mad at you. No, not in my world. No, not in my world. I'm not going to be in a world where somebody thinks they can oppress me, suppress me, verbally abuse me. Maybe I'm being rigid, but guess what? I have not been rigid enough my whole life. I've tolerated so much bullshit my whole life that it actually feels so friggin' liberating to actually go, no, and no, and no, and no. And even to my own daughter, for the first time when she did that, you'd never do that for me. The next day, I called her up at her boyfriend's. I would never have done that and said, I have texted her, hey, do you have a couple minutes to talk? She got on the phone and I said, you know what you did last night? Madeline, I haven't been able to stop thinking about it. You know, and she came home, we hugged. I said, we have to treat each other really well. We have to treat each other really well with love and kindness and compassion. And, you know, we're our own greatest fans. I'm your best fan. You got to be my best fan. And that's how we have to be. So, yeah, I know we're all going through it, and it's hard. I'd love to think the day will come that I can go in amongst all of the darkest of the darkest and just shine so bright and beautiful and not be knocked at all. And that's sort of what my prayer is for my life.
And
so,
I remember looking back when I did speak my truth, they would say, oh, my ex's family or my family, you're going to have no friends. You're going to have no friends. I'm like,
you're going to have no friends. No, nope.
I am
going
to say with no friends. I love it.
Yeah, it's sort of like I think to myself, yeah, well, I do have friends if I really wanted them. But, you know, it's okay because it takes a lot of energy to have a wildly thriving career working with thousands and thousands of women, to have a deeply intimate, passionate connection with my husband, to be so connected and immersed and involved in my children and their lives, to have these three little dogs that fill me with so much joy. They take a lot of work between their cleaning and their brushing and their walking.
Oh, I have
and
a dog, I know.
Oh, there's so much work, but you love them. And that's who's going to get my time. Me. I choose. So as we go into the holiday season, everyone, Nina, thank you so, so much. It's
thank
been a
you,
great
Christine.
Conversation today. And, you know, I just want to really just assert that to everyone as you go into the holiday season. You know, you get to decide how you will say it. You get to decide if you will say no or if you will say no, but thanks for thinking of me, or if you just will not even answer at all. You get to decide how you will show up, but it is your choice. And I just really encourage you to do it with as much love as you can do it with, to do it with as much empathy, to do it with as much kindness, but do it. Say what must be said and do what must be done. Do it in the kindest way possible, but honor yourself. You don't want to break out in scabies. And you don't want, my God, if I told you all the ailments and injuries and I've had in my lifetime, my body is always speaking to me and your body is always speaking to you. So listen to yourself. Take care of yourself. Be good to yourself. And let's get ourselves so our bodies are in such alignment that when you go for a walk, you can scan your body from the top of your head to your tip of your toes and say, does anything hurt? Is anything out of alignment? Where does my body need my love? Where does my spirit need my attention? Where in my life do I need to give myself more of me? And when you do that, I promise you, I think all the relationships in our life find their right spot, and we are able to sort of detach in a way that's loving and healthy. And that's the greatest gift we can give to the people in our lives. Sometimes tough love is tough, and sometimes love is tough, and sometimes it's hard, but we do what must be done. And so I'm empowering you, encouraging you, and inspiring you to get through your holiday season. Don't worry, we have more Chat with Crystals coming up. We're going to do this again next Tuesday, I think. Yep, next Tuesday we should be on. And for those of you that are new with me today, thank you for joining in. And for those of you that did raise your hand, thank you so much for raising your hand. Nina and I had a pretty long talk today, but I think we all got a lot out of it. At least I know I did. And Nina, thank you for coaching me as well. Everyone, have an awesome week. Yeah, that's it, because I'm not doing a telecourse tomorrow night. We are all done. I do want to let you know I have a retreat coming up at my home. I've decided to do it again February 18th. They do sell out quickly. Check it out on SWATinstitute.com. And that's all for now. Ladies, have an awesome day and an awesome week. Sending you all huge love. Bye for now.
The moderator has left the conference.